Okay, so a couple things I just few things I want to talk about. One is immediately talk about like what's the BOF session at SC23. It looks like this link here is broken. We'll try and fix that. I'm not sure what's going on there, but we do have a pretty interesting. We got some stuff on our page here. We'll have a forum post about this in the next day or so. But we have a pretty good lineup of speakers. So we'll talk about a couple of things. You know, going on an HDF5, it'd be a good session. It's at a good time. 5 o'clock on, I think we're on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. So please come if you're going to be at Supercomputing. If you're interested in talking to anybody from the HDF group, both Scott and I will be there. So feel free to reach out to us, and we'll be happy to sit down and chat with you. So one of the things I wanted to bring up here was so somebody brought this post up, this issue up, and so they're building with FPE trap invalid, so they're catching floating point exceptions, and this causes a an abort in their program because of what we do in the type convert in the type initialization software. So in part of our the HDF5 library. So what we have in here is let me crack the code open and I'll take a peek at it here. Let's see, source. And anybody who's been in our past couple of meetings has seen this already once or twice already. Let's see here, H5T init float. So what we used to have was when you started building the library, we ran a program called H5 detect that would look at the integer and floating point types on your machine and would then set some stuff up so that we knew what size things were and all these other things. And so some time ago, we moved the integer code out of that program into the library. So we handle that at initialization, but we left the floating point stuff alone. And so recently I moved the floating point stuff inside the library so that we could get rid of those programs entirely and make cross-compiling a lot easier. And we didn't move that into the 114 branch because we were getting exceptions from the NAG Fortran compiler, which traps floating point exceptions by default. So what we have in here is we have this init float thing where we just go through, we go past there are a couple of helper functions that we have, and then down here is the big part here, right? So we go in and for float and double and long double, we run this macro here, and then we fill out the data type fields and set up the type. And so in this macro up here, we do a bunch of bit munching and then checking values, right? So we make this bit mask, and this actually causes the problems. Check for byte order, Mantissa location and size, and signed bits and stuff like that. And so this is what was causing the problems in here, specifically this line right in there. And so I thought that there was just a problem with the NAG Fortran compiler, and we fixed it by changing the IEEE level to full instead of what it was before, where we trap exceptions. So, but now other people are complaining because they set this. They're trying to build with this, and this will catch, you know, because this is program wide, it'll catch stuff that's inside libraries, including ours. So what we do now is starting in 114.4. I don't think we're going to release a patch release for this. We trap this stuff. So if you look in here, if you go back down to where that initialization function is, there's now what we do is we stash the floating point environment. And just basically tell it to n not throw any floating point exceptions. We go through all of our stuff in here because this will generate, when we go through this macro, the problem is it generates not a numbers. And then we do stuff with them. We're not doing math with them. We're just looking at them to see if they're the same as other things. And that's enough to trigger invalid behavior. So then what we do is on the way out, we clear any FE invalid exceptions. So not all of them. If we still divide by zero or do anything, any actual math pro things that are wrong, it'll still catch them. We're just saying ignore infinity and not a number and things like that. And then we restore what the person had said, what the normal environment was. So we're trying to make this as minimally intrusive as possible so that if somebody sets up a particular environment to catch certain floating point environment exceptions, we won't clobber that. But we do ignore everything while we're doing our own type munching. And I want to do this instead of going through and hacking up all of this and making this complicated in ways that may not be, that may vary on different platforms. It just seems that it was easier to swallow the exceptions while we're doing this stuff. In theory, we could do it in here too, inside the macro, but I figured it might as well just do it about the whole thing because you never know what the helper functions are going to do, if that's going to be something that's invalid. So if this comes up, this is the problem. It's understood and it's been fixed. This is already merged and we closed this issue. So I wanted to get that out there in case somebody trips over it while they're trying to build their Fortran things. So while we're here, let's take a look at the release schedule. So right now, so we just released 114.3 at the end of October. 112.3 was scheduled for the end of November, but we're doing this now. So we have the branch created. We're testing binaries, and so we should have this out before the end of the week. We get a newsletter out explaining what's in it. The only thing that's really in this is it's CVE fixes. If we brought some performance improvements have been brought over. The chunk iteration function is over there, and this is the last 112 release. So, and nobody really should be using this. It has a vol layer that is incompatible with other with 114 vol connectors. We had to update it for pass-through vol connectors. So it's best to not use 112. There's nothing wrong with it if you're in serial or you don't care about the vol, but it'd be better to move to 114.3 because this is we're ending support for this. All right. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about really quickly is so what are we going to worry about in 114.4? So that's scheduled here in the spring, right? I've got this penciled in for March. And so what are you going to work on? And there's not going to be a lot of time to get a lot of stuff done in here because we have a bunch of things to finish up for the exascale computing project in this last couple of months here, mostly parallel things and documentation. So it's only going to be a few months before, like maybe January, February, before we get this out the door. But I do want to work on a couple of things that I think limit HTF5. One is I do want us to get to the point where we can open Unicode files on Windows. Because that's a long-standing problem. I think that that's pretty easy to fix, even though there'll be some sharp edges, because that's not going to work everywhere inside the library. There'll be places where we still treat strings as UTF-8 or ASCII, and that's and so Windows will trip over that. Maybe there's gonna be problems with virtual data sets or with like external storage and things like that. So there won't be everything won't work, but we should at least be able to open a simple file. The open call should at least work. You're thinking about adding some new data types, the Boolean complex float 16. I really do want the read-only S3 VFD to be much better tested. So we want to expand the testing there to fix any issues that we have. There's about three or four that may or may not be still valid after, a year or two. We've done a bunch of work with the read-only S3VFD and the testing and such. I would like to get the number of issues in GitHub down to less than 100. Right now we're at about 150. I think that's pretty doable. There's still some CVE issues, problems that we've had. We thought that we had everything fixed, but it looks like there's a regression. And one of those is listed as an issue in here. There is a CVE issue listed in here, probably spilled onto the second page now. Yeah, this one here. So when we switch to the static library, this turns out that it comes back. So this is probably not fixed for real. So we're gonna have to go back and investigate that. But I would like to have all of that fixed for the next release. And to extend what we test with the CVE repository to OSS fuzz as well. And then I think there's a few other things that we need to do about getting HTF5 to just work, right? And we have this problem with the NVIDIA compiler, where we have this limitation where you can only build with -01. There's probably an alignment It could be a compiler bug, but also it could be that we have an alignment problem under the hood that we need to address. Package config support for the auto tools. We should be releasing .dev and RPM files for 1.14.4. We still have a little bit of work to do on cross-compiling. We fixed a lot of it, but unless you have a cache file, I think CMake still does some try run things that we need to fix. And also too, there's I don't know if we're gonna be able to address it without having a major version bump, but Fortran. It'd be nice if Fortran could be cross-compiled, which is not true right now. Right now we have you have to run the program to figure out to introspect the Fortran types. And then we had a problem with Fortran and the one API. I would like to have the one API work better with Windows and as well as Clang, if people want to use Clang with Visual Studio. So and then yeah, some improvements in the documentation. We're missing Doxygen for some current some things like the develop headers, certain internal vol thing, the developer vol stuff and the developer VFD stuff. Trying to update the examples. The user guide I think needs a lot of attention that we've not been updating it as we've been adding features for the past several years. And so we need to update that to have at least talk about briefly the new virtual file drivers. The vol stuff should be incorporated into this. So it'd be nice to have the user's guide be more of a one-stop shopping source of truth for how you work with HDF5 instead of having to read a bunch of random RFCs that are scattered all over the place. And then, yeah, we're still trying to put together some pass-through vol documentation for constructing a pass-through vol connector. So that's what I have. So do people have questions or comments? Anything you want to talk about? In the chat? No, I see the chat. Anything else? It's so quiet. Okay, well, that's what I have. So if you're going to be at SC, I hope to see you there. And that's it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.